Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that dog was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Putting on a Ducks jersey doesn't make you a real duck. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hey, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back after a short time off, but I'm excited. I'm ready to go. So the season one is over. No news on season two. A little surprised we haven't heard on season two, but that gives us a lot of time to discuss a lot of things that came up, a lot of questions coming in. We'll have a lot in the future for that. We'll still, you know, have some guests from time to time as well, but it won't be quite the pace that we had before while things were going down. But before we get into anything, let's get into cryptocurrency. KIN token, December 2016. Kevin invests roughly $300-ish in KIN token. It's been down more than it's been up. I think last time it was around $50, $60. Kevin, where are we standing today?
We stand at $25.24.
Oh, geez. Heading back down to zero.
I do need to do a little research. They recently like completed their switch to like a new blockchain. So I don't know if that like, if it doesn't track it properly anymore or not. So I need to look into that. But yeah, it's still not financially worthwhile, I don't think, for me to convert my current tokens into like the new blockchain ones. Because I think it would cost more money than it's worth to do so. So,
wow.
But yeah.
Very complicated. I feel like a lot of controversy. Yeah. Arising here. But so let's move on to really, I guess, the main topic at hand. So I teased this a little in the Discord just to, you know, give people in the Discord a little heads up. But at our last live show, our live Zoom, after the games, we were just talking about people were at original Adam Banks. I worry about how I called his work every day for 2 weeks straight and left him messages. I check in from time to time. So that was it. I don't know if he listened to that or he saw that, but this week, out of the blue, I get a random Facebook message from him that says, "Hey, I've gotten your messages. You know, I've seen them. I just want to let you know that I've seen them." And he said that he would like to do it, but he is afraid it would affect his work now. So he doesn't want to do it at this time, but he's open to it. So that is the update. Original Adam Banks still on the line. We've actually made contact, which is exciting. I gave him the option to go anonymous, to say, "Hey, we don't have to use your real name. You can come talk to us." He said no. He wants his real name out there. I think he's ready to drop some bombs. So whenever we get him, he said it will be the best show we've ever had.
We need to get a campaign to get him promoted, to get some better job security. So let's do that behind the scenes, just so he can afford to tell all. But this is very exciting. And I think we first found out about the original Adam Banks. Was it like 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was like our very first interview with Sean Weiss, I think.
No, it was with the actor who played Larson. I thought he mentioned that.
Right.
Because he got Larson because Vinny La Russa was bumped up.
That's true. Yeah. So that was literally our first ever interview on the Quack Attack. So we've been chasing this, I guess, unicorn in a sense for for a while now. So I'm excited that we actually made contact. He said, you know, check in every now and then, and when he's ready, he'll be able to come on. So stay tuned. For how long, I don't know. It could be a week. It could be another 5 years. But stay tuned, and we'll be in on that. So let's move on now to the topic at hand. So we've had a lot of, you know, random quack questions come up. We've a lot of guests, so we can't really get to these hypotheticals and some of the deeper questions. We've done a little bit. We did it with Alexander Vlahos and other people, but I have 9. These are Discord exclusives. Another shout out for the Discord to jump on there, because it's much easier to wrangle all these quack questions on the Discord. And I just like being on there and seeing what people have to say. So I have 9 quack questions. We're going to randomly number generate per the, I guess, traditions of the pod, and see how many we can answer here in the next, 25 or so minutes. So first quack question. Oh, number one right off the bat. This comes from CakeEater92. This is actually a question, you know, more for the pod than anything else. He said, when brainstorming ideas for the term quacklites, what were the other contenders?
I mean, if I remember right, I came up with quacklites and there were no other contenders because I just came up with that and then we went with it, right?
Yeah, so I said something else. I said something about like quack fans or quack attack fans or something pretty lame. And then, yeah, Kevin texted me quacklites and I had no idea.
And it was probably a text at like 3 or 4 in the morning after a few brewskis.
Yeah. And then I spelled it, I think originally like quack A lights, and Kevin corrected me and quack O lights. Like I had no idea what it was a reference to be honest, until much later on. So I think mystery solved there. Let's go on. Let's move on. That was a quick one. I like that. Maybe we can get through all 9. All right. 1 through 8 now. Oh, another number one. Back-to-back number ones. This comes again from CakeEater92. CakeEater92, this is a don't bothers question. The parents who show interest in their children are Alex, who's Evan's mom, Sherry and Paula, Nick's mom, Lisa, Maya's mom, Danielle, Sam's mom, Christine, which is Lauren's mom, Stephanie, which is obviously the lawyer, Stephanie, the duck kid, Amara, Sophie's mom, Harris, Logan, and Brian. Harris is Logan's dad, Brian and Sophie's dad. Why are the dudes letting down the side down so much? Does this really reflect real life? Do dads not put as much effort in with their kids as moms do? Is this intended simply as a nod to all hockey moms? He's English, so he says moms instead of moms.
Well, that's adorable.
Or is this blatant sexism from the writers? Is it perhaps so that Bombay has plenty of MILF options to exploit?
So I think that you're on the right track there with the last thing, but I think it's Coach T instituted some rule because, you know, he mentioned dating single moms where only moms could take their kids to practice. Or something along those lines. And that kind of like came across the entire league. Other coaches are like, the Ducks have so much success. We got to try something. Get the moms out. Dads, stop coming and like being dicks. And also like, I think there's probably a correct stereotype about like dads being like overbearing sometimes at youth games. We've all heard stories about dads like getting thrown out of games. One of my good friends said there's the legendary, you know, times of his dad like confronting the umpire at home plate where, you know, the kid just wants to like shrivel up and die. You know, I'm very lucky that, you know, I didn't have to deal anything with that. But I think this was, it was nice, I think, and you didn't have to deal like nice to see like, hey, yeah, you know, moms care too. But I think there's something with Coach T about him banning dads from practice or something like that.
Yeah. One of my best friends growing up, they eventually had to ban his dad from going to the games, like as a family, or he had to sit up in the top corner at basketball games and he had to be quiet because he would like harass players and refs and coaches. It was pretty intense. So I think you might be onto something there, but yeah, I think it's more about like, you know, the soccer mom, the hockey mom stereotype, that kind of thing, where like they're the ones doing all the shuttling to and from practice and everything like that. So I think maybe it was just kind of a nod to all that hard work.
Yeah. What was the first name of your friend, Kevin?
Jamal.
Jamal's dad. Watch out for him. Is he in New Mexico?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. If you meet a Jamal in New Mexico, ask about his dad at basketball games. Anyway, I will mention Clark, Stephanie's, well, I guess now soon to be ex-husband. I don't really know where we are in the divorce proceedings at this point. He was involved, although maybe not in a good way. But I think Coach T, as Tommy said, did see an opportunity here. He sort of couched it as, you know, dads are too intense. Like, let's, you know, have you guys step back and have the moms be more involved and do this, hockey moms challenge or whatever they called it. But yeah, it was really a way to get his, you know, scouting report on who was available and, you know, kind of what the family life was and, you know, if there were any prospects for him to date the single moms there. So I think that is good. Yeah. I mean, the nod to the hockey moms probably a little bit, but yeah, I think this is a Coach T doing with, on the surface, a nice message, I guess, or kind of reason, but really deep down he was being nefarious, kind of similar to his character with Gordon Bombay there in the end. All right, anything else here before we need to move on? Anything else on the hockey moms? All right, let's go. We're down to 7. Record pace here. Number 2, this comes from Cats Fan in Ohio. So this was asked before the season finale, but I do think there's an interesting question here. I think this is actually asked after he watched episode 1, but he said, where are Coop's parents? Nick mentions that Coop 13 has played the hockey game for 13,000 hours. One standard year work year, 40 hours a week for 52 weeks, is 2,080 hours. So he played that game the equivalent of 6.5 work years. Either it's an old game system or that kid never goes to school or sleeps. But the real question is, where are the parents? Which brings up an extreme point about, you know, obviously we see Coop's parents at the end. They never really show up, but like, there's a whole family dynamic here that I'm not really sure what's going on. Do we think that Coop's parents like don't really like him, or are they just like too busy with something else?
You know, I don't think we have a lot of context here. I think you're onto something about maybe not liking him. Not that that's the thing, but he's like in the basement, right? That's like his lair. And so I guess it's like his parents are like, just set him down there, let him do his thing. We don't have time for it. So there's a million reasons for that. And so maybe in season 2, we get into that a little bit, but we do see them at the finale. And it almost seems like if they had gotten another few episodes, or maybe if these were longer episodes, maybe there was some Coop stuff, like Coop family things he got left in the cutting room floor, maybe original scripts because of COVID, like, we couldn't really do some things. But I bet you there is some kind of like absentee parents thing going on. That's why he was always gaming, or maybe they had to like, they were always working, something like that. So definitely an absentee parents thing was probably going on.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of like, maybe they both work 2 jobs or something like that, you know, out of necessity. And then also maybe just like a general disinterest or in like hockey and stuff like that. But also on the math portion of this question, mm-hmm. I do think it would be very easy for Coop to put in more hours than a standard work year on playing the game. Because, I mean, if you factor in, say he plays 4 hours a day after school, and then he plays like 24 hours on the weekend, like, you know, and that's probably a low number for that too.
Yeah.
Like that can easily be a longer time than a standard like work year. So maybe it's closer to like literally spending like 3 years in total of his like waking hours playing this, but
so
I don't think it would be that long of a like literal time span.
If you, let's say you get home from school at like 3:30 or like round up, just say 4, like,
yeah,
okay, you spend an hour on your homework. It's, you know, he hasn't really gotten into like super hard high school or whatever yet. Only needs to do an hour. So from 5 to midnight, maybe he's gaming.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting at.
7 hours.
So that's 7 hours. But maybe let's just say it's 6 hours a day, or if you only want to like kind of be like a little bit conservative, like 4 or 5 hours, like Kevin said. So if we say 5 hours, and he's definitely like grabbing his dinner and going downstairs to eat, mm-hmm. Or like microwaving his Hot Pockets or whatever. So 5 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And then like Kevin said, like, yeah, he's, you know, waking and gaming for 12 hours a day on Saturday and Sunday. You can do it. And there's, if we really wanted to have like a Coob spinoff, he could be like a streamer and like a very well-known one if he's like amazing at this game. So
Tommy, what would you estimate the number of hours in a standard year of your childhood you spent gaming?
So I wasn't allowed to play video games until probably N64. So maybe I was like 10 or 11 is when we got it. Maybe I was 10. And the rule was you could only play an hour a week during the weekdays, and you could play like during the weekend. And that rule kind of went out the window after I got to high school. But so childhood didn't do as much, but we could play as many computer games as we wanted. So I played a fuck ton of Age of Empires.
I was going to say, Tycoon.
Yeah. But now it's like, I mean, I play MLB The Show, like just to kind of decompress. And I'm the guy who plays every single game in a season. So there's 162 games in a season. And I just completed a season. It takes 30 minutes per game. So that's 80 hours right there, plus the playoffs, plus doing trades and everything. So, you know, I'm spending a lot of time doing that. And so I think it's very easy how someone could just kind of lose themselves in gaming for that much.
Yeah, I mean, if we're saying 49 hours a week, so 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, 24 hours on the weekend, that's still 5 years, which goes back to the point that, yeah, maybe this is an old game. We've
well,
talked
if
about
it's like a series, if it's like NHL, yeah. Whatever.
Oh,
and so adds each year. It's like, oh, he spent, yes, yeah, so only maybe he's only spent, you know, X amount of hours on like the 2021 version, but like he's been playing it since like he was, you know, six or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you would figure if he's that good, like he's never let in a goal, there would be some sort of like professional video game league that would want to pick him up, similar to like the NBA 2K league or whatever. I don't know if there's an NHL league.
I don't think there's really an NHL league, but also he's young. There's rules about how young you could be for certain titles. So like in the NBA 2K league, I believe you have to be 18, and they have a draft every year. And I've not heard of like a professional NHL league. I'm sure there's tournaments, things like that, and there might be like wagers, and there's probably streamers. But think about like NHL video game series. It's not as popular as, you know, 2K or Madden. And of course, sports games are not as popular in the esports scene to begin with. So I think we are having to like really explain a lot for these writers, but this is not as big of a stretch as I think some people might think.
Mm, I like it. Yeah. So Coop's parent. So we're thinking there, I guess they live in Evan's neighborhood, which is upper middle class-ish. How would you classify Evan's and Coop and Nick's neighborhood there?
I guess I would probably say, I don't know. We don't see a ton of it, but yeah, I guess middle class, maybe even lower to like lower middle class to middle class. Like, I don't know.
I think it's kind of like solidly middle class because, yeah. You know, Alex, she's not like, she doesn't have a law degree, right?
Right.
But she obviously works her ass off. She probably makes like a decent salary, but she's probably not making six figures. You've got Nick's moms who probably both work. And then like maybe both of Coop's parents are working both like those jobs so they could afford to live in that neighborhood so they could send Coop to that school maybe. So I would say it's pretty solidly middle class. But you've got, you know, again, we're thinking maybe Coop's parents are working, you know, two blue collar jobs each or something like that to afford to live in that neighborhood. So solidly middle class is kind of what I think.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. I was trying to figure out if they, you know, if they were working a bunch of jobs just to be able to afford it, or, you know, they were maybe rich and like CEOs and then just didn't have time for their kids and didn't really care what they were doing. So
that's another option. Like maybe they're just like, oh, just give them the game system and like, we don't have time to talk to the kids because we're working 80 hours a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the way we've sussed it out here, it's probably the former where, you know, they're just trying to send him to a decent school, live in a decent neighborhood, And, you know, it's been tough. I don't know. Yeah, I guess Coop, we don't know if he has any other siblings. We just know that he that they're a screen family. So, yeah, I think a little bit of working hard, as we mentioned, and then just a little bit of lackadaisical parenting, hands-off parenting. I don't know. I don't know how you would classify it. But I think we really got to the meat of the numbers there and the parenting. All right. Let's move on. We got six left. Six left. All right. Let's change the thing. This is exciting. Random number generating number five. This comes from His Lexcellence producer, Lex Rauffenberg. He's a rabbi, by the way. He said, you know, if there are any Jewish topics to come up, he'd be willing to come on.
Well, we could definitely talk about Nick. He mentions Passover.
That's true. That's so
we
true.
Can, we could probably talk to the rabbi himself about Passover and having non-Jewish guests over in that tradition.
Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit with Josh Goldsmith and Kathy Yespa, but he asks, how would Coach T and the Ducks spend $200 at PF Change? I think the initial thought was go all appetizers, just most bang for your buck, but is there a better way to do it? Like, would you go like all dessert for the team? I'm going to pull off a PF Chang's menu.
I was going to say, full disclosure, I've never been to a PF Chang's.
Yeah, me neither. I'm pulling it up too. It's one of those things where I'm trying to find like a PDF that has prices on it. Oh, here's interesting. You can get a family meal for six for $78. So you get two of those. You're already looking pretty good because like the teams aren't that big. And then you just like, then maybe you share some desserts or something like that. Because it looks like you can get a lunch bowl for like $11. And there's Bao donuts for $7.50. So maybe you get like five orders of that to go with your two family meals for six. And you're golden.
So you go family meal for six. That's $156. Let's see what's
No. Family. Family meal for six is $78. So you get two of those.
Yeah, two of those. Sorry, it's $156. You choose a lettuce wrap, a soup, noodles and rice, and then you have main entrees. You can select three main entrees. You know, Mongolian beef, spicy chicken, sesame chicken, that kind of stuff. You get two of those. Share it. And then what'd you say? After that, we have what, $44 left?
Yeah. And so maybe you get Bao donuts and those are $7.50 each. And maybe you get five orders of that.
Okay.
Everyone drinks water.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. And then Coach T gets like a beer or something.
Yeah. He gets a draft Coors Light or something like that.
I like it. I think that's the way to go to get most bang for your buck. I think you could eke out a decent meal. I don't think like the kids would be stuffed, but they would be satiated here.
Yeah, and you could do like your awards banquet while you're there.
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, I guess you wouldn't have parents would have to pay for themselves if they came.
Yeah, this would just be like a team thing. If you did want to go appetizers only, it looks like the most expensive appetizer is $12. They've got barbecue pork spare ribs, northern style pork spare ribs. Actually, it looks like there's a lobster dumpling for $12.50. So you could just get a fuck ton of appetizers as well.
Sounds like we need to go to a PF Chang's and see how much food we can get for $200.
Yeah, we'll do something at PF Chang's eventually, and we'll let everyone know, as well as the chicken wing challenge. Which Kevin, have you been training?
I train every day.
That's his line. That's his line. We'll see if it pays off. We'll see if it pays. But yeah, I mean, the average. Oh, this is lunch bowl. But yeah, I mean, if you look at the appetizer, you know, get $11 appetizer, you could get 18 of those for, you know, $200. Is that right? Yeah. 200 divided by 11, 18. Yeah. A little over 18. So maybe that's the way to, you just get the same thing over and over again. That'd be rough, but yeah. So either, do we think the family meal would be more satisfying, or just like the overabundance of food here, where you just get a bunch of appetizers and it's just like a ton of food, even though it's basically the same thing.
I feel like kids would want to do the appetizers because, like, they might be like, I don't want a lettuce wrap. I don't want egg drop soup. All I want is a bunch of, you know, orange chicken.
Yeah. Spare ribs.
Yeah.
Spare ribs, yeah.
Okay. I like that. So we're going back to the appetizer route. Maybe get 10 of those and then, you know, throw some desserts in or something.
Yeah, 10 of those. And I think doing the donuts for desserts is good because those are kind of like shareables, it looks like. Bao donuts rolled in cinnamon sugar with miso caramel and chocolate dipping sauces. It looks like maybe 6 come in order.
Yeah.
Maybe 7 because one of them's like cracked open on the side.
Oh. Yeah. So.
Can I just say this is really making me want to go to like a Chinese buffet? It's been so long.
Okay. Actually, we do need to one thing. So there's like some beverages here.
Uh-huh.
And if we have $5 left over for... Actually, let's just say Coach T gets to pick one beer.
Yeah.
And so there's Sapporo, Asahi, Tsingtao, Lucky Buddha, Kirin Ichiban, and I'm probably going to butcher this one, Hitachino Nest White Ale. Those are the beer choices. Now, they may have like Bud Light, Coors Light, whatever. But of those like specialty lagers imported, what do you think he's getting?
Well, Asahi's like the... you know, Coors Light option in that group. That's pretty prevalent.
I would kind of, so the Lucky Buddha lager is got definitely have the coolest bottle. It like looks like a Buddha. I think Kirin Ichiban might be, I've only had 4 of these. I think that's probably my favorite of those.
I've had the White Nest one. That one is really good.
Yeah. So when he's at the bar with Bombay, he just gets like a beer, right?
Yeah, it's just like a draft. Like it looks like a Pilsner of sorts, like a Miller or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think he might go with the what he said, you know, whatever is the closest to that. So maybe he goes Asahi. But yeah, I do agree. The Lucky Buddha. If he can see the bottles, maybe he goes with the Lucky Buddha just out of novelty. But yeah, that's the Asahi. But everything,
the most expensive is the Sapporo lager. It's $10. But if he says he just gets to have one, so maybe he goes with the good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's premium beer, it says on the label. So there you go. I think that's the move. Yeah. You can't really go any other drinks.
I mean, if for the Ducks picking the Nest, you know, the White Nest.
Yeah. It's got a picture of an owl on it. Like a lot of these designs are pretty good. Kevin, you're a professional designer. What do you think about some of these?
Well, they're all Japanese and everything in Japan is like the best design thing you've ever seen in your life. So yeah, it's pretty hard to go wrong from like a graphic design perspective in Japan.
All right. I think we solved it. There's not much else you could do. You can't go drinks, too expensive for all the kids. So like, yeah, you got to go waters and you go big on the appetizers as Kathy and Josh said. And then, yeah, depending on how much is left over, a little bit of dessert and Coach T, assuming he shares, I guess he could just, you know, pocket the $200 PF Chang's gift card for himself and
all takes out a couple moms.
Yeah, exactly. But we're assuming he does the right thing here, but I think the biggest news is neither one of you have been to PF Chang's.
We didn't have one in my town growing up.
Okay.
And I don't know. I don't frequent like chain restaurants all that much.
I always kind of assumed it was expensive. And so yeah. Like, I didn't have one in my town or like, that's not something we went to. And like, obviously when I went to college, if I was getting Chinese food, I was going to a buffet with Kevin and we were lining our pockets to bring egg rolls home.
Yes, we were.
And so and now it's like, yeah, if I want to get, I mean, we should try it, I think, and then report back.
It's in the same family as like Pei Wei, right? Like the same restaurant group.
Yeah, Pei Wei's fine, you know. I've been to Pei Wei. It's all right. It's the best.
I was never a huge Pei Wei fan, so maybe I was just like, okay, I don't really need to try PF Chang's.
Yeah, it's fine. My sister really liked it when we were little, so like on her birthday there's a PF Chang's at the mall, so we would go there. But
nice.
Yeah.
Then you go to Build-A-Bear afterwards.
Exactly. A lot of PF Chang's stock, but good for that. I wonder if they get any cash just for the mention. Probably not, right? Do you have to approve?
Well, he said they had some issues with it, right? To get it.
That's true. They originally said, no, you can't say it, blah, blah, blah. And I guess you just have to have someone look it up. You got lawyers and retainer, you got clerks, whatever. Look up to see, is this going to get us in hot water? And it's probably like, look, you didn't say anything disparaging. This isn't negative connotation. It's fine. Yeah, maybe they could like say, we don't associate with, you know, dickheads like Coach T, but you're fine. If anything else, they should be thrilled because we're fucking talking about this the podcast. And now we're going to go to PF Chang's. So they're going to make at least like $50 off of the three of us. So
there you go. Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Like, do you pay and then you mention them, or do you say, hey, we're going to mention you and you're going to get this free publicity? But
I think Goldsmith and Yuspa sound like the kind who would not be about that. Not like, hey, like, we'll definitely mention it. Like, if you guys remember in the Netflix series, House of Cards in the first season, like, it's very obvious, like, some Sony PlayStation product placement. Like, Kevin Spacey's like, is that a PSP? Like, handheld portable? And he's, like, playing Killzone on the PlayStation. Like, it's, like, a why? Okay. I don't think Goldsmith Yuspa would be into that. But, you know, it happens. There's definitely, like, product placement and shit.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some sort of partnership between Mighty Ducks and Honey Nut Cheerios. So,
oh, yes, that was obvious.
So, yeah, I'm curious about all this. We'll have to ask them how this all worked out, if they can give us the details. But
I think we need to get a list of all the product placements that occurred in Game Changers, because we had like the Skinny Pop one.
Right.
I can't recall any off the top of my head aside from that, and however the PF Chang thing shook out. But I feel like that's a job for one of the Quacklites to put together.
Whenever we do some rewatch, we'll make sure to, like, that'll be one of the things we know in each episode. But yeah, Honey Nut Cheerio, like, it's, I guess that's mostly food stuff that we're drawn to. It's not like, oh, I always use Velveleno oil, you know.
That would be great if they worked that in. But all right, I think we have accomplished our goal here. We're over 30 minutes at this point, so we'll just leave the rest of the Quack questions for another time. For us, thequackattack.com, at quackattackpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quackattackpod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars, tell us your ideal PF Chang's order. Thanks to our producers for donating. It's helped a lot, helped grow the pod. We're going to continue to grow. It helped get us some interviews, make us look legit. So we couldn't do without you guys. If you want to join all of our wonderful producers, there's a link in the show notes that tells you how to do that. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together. Bye-bye. Ain't no turning back. Start to believe the man is up.